Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, starting the show by talking about exercise on the show. Have you been making some New Year's resolutions to that effect? Ann Swartz back with us. Once again, it's great to have her back. She's a professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee and is co-director of its Physical Activity and Health Research Laboratory. So as we talk with Ann, I hope you'll join in. What do you think are the benefits of regular physical activity? What have been your experiences maybe keeping it going or getting started? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Ann Swartz, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I think about New Year's resolutions, and I have no research on this, so just off the top of my head. I'm betting that the number one would be to lose weight. Probably, you think? I think number two might be exercise.
Right. I think they're both up there. I think we see quite a few people who resolve to try and do better, make themselves more healthy in some aspect. And a lot of times that has to do with either our body weight or the amount of exercise that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah. What causes us to lose motivation? Or what are the biggest reasons that people just sort of lose it?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things, if we kind of focus a little bit on exercise here, because that's what I'd like to talk about.
Yep.
I think one of the most important things is for people to choose something that they enjoy doing. If you don't enjoy doing it, it's going to be so much more difficult to motivate yourself to get up in the morning or to do it in the evening. And so finding something that you really enjoy. And there's a lot of research to back this up that shows that if we enjoy what we're doing, then we're going to stick with it. And so for some people, that might be exercising with their spouse. For some people, that might be taking a walk in nature. Figuring out what it is that you really, where you find joy in your movement is really important.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of benefits to regular exercise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have the American College of Sports Medicine has an initiative called Exercise is Medicine. And it's really true. Exercise is a great preventative medicine as well as a great rehabilitative medicine. We know that exercise helps us sleep better. We know that exercise helps us control our blood pressure. It helps us control our cholesterol. It helps us control diabetes. It gives us stronger bones, stronger muscles. It helps us to do our activities of daily living easier, accomplish those easier. We have less anxiety and stress. We have better mood. Our heart health is better. Our brain health is better. You know, the list is really endless in terms of all the benefits that we can receive from participating in exercise on a regular basis.
Yeah. I do a jog in the morning. I probably have mentioned this when I talk with you before. I do 2-3 miles every morning. I get up around 20 to 6 in the morning and get out. And for me, it's like, oh, it's relaxing, but I'm kind of running through what I've got to do for the rest of the day. But you just feel so much better when I do anyway, when I'm done.
Right. Absolutely. And so many people do. It may be hard to get going, but once you start developing a habit, then most people feel really good after they're done and they've accomplished something.
How do you turn it into a habit?
Well, that's I giggle because it's a difficult thing to do. It's a really difficult thing to do. You definitely have to make it a priority in your life, And you have to figure out the time of the day that it works into your schedule. You want it to, if you're a morning person and you like to get up and get things done, like it sounds like you're a morning person and you like to get up and get it done, then that works for some people. But for some people, they would rather do it after work and they do it you know, as a way to decompress and process everything that happened at the end of their day. But there's a couple things that you can do to help make it into a habit. And that's, first of all, as I mentioned, you know, making it a priority. So, you know, if you're going to get up and jog in the morning, then making it as easy to get up and jog in the morning. So you want to lay out your clothes, lay out your shoes. And then as you get up, put on your clothes, put on your shoes. And if you don't feel like doing it, tell yourself, I'm just going to do 5 minutes today. And once you get out there and you start going, you may find that, yeah, I've only got 5 minutes in me today. Or you may find, you know what, I think I can do this. I can do the full 2-3 miles that I usually do on a daily basis. And so figuring out ways to work it into your day, make it a priority, and to make it as easy as possible to get it done.
Yeah. I'm on Map My Run, which is a free app, and I checked it just before the show to see how far I've gone since the start of the year. Map My Run gives you a goal of 1,023 kilometers for the year. So in the first 10 days so far, I've got 40 kilometers, which is 25 miles roughly, I think.
Right. About That's 25. Fantastic. Yeah.
So I'm off to a good start. I've already earned a badge. And that's one of the things about the app, that app. It's free and so forth. But you get little badges for every these milestones through the course of the year. And so, if you know, if you're doing what, 1,000 would be about 50 miles, something like that. So 50 miles a month, thereabouts.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, I'm usually done way before that, but the end of the year. But little badges and little tricks they use to sort of keep you going and where you stand in relation to everybody else. I noticed I'm in the top 20% of the runners or the joggers or the walkers. I mean, you can do it any way you want and Map My Run.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I mean, you figured out a way to work exercise into your life and make it something that you enjoy. I think you bring up a couple really important things for the listeners. One is the use of wearables and, you know, tracking how much we've done on a daily basis. That's very useful because if we don't write it down or record it in some way, then we can't look back and go, oh, wow, I've done a lot. I've really accomplished a lot this year. Because at the beginning of the year, you look at the goal that it set for you over 100 kilometers and, you know, you think, gosh, that's a lot. But then you realize that you attain that even before the 12 months are done. And that can be really reinforcing to your behavior. But then the other thing that this app helps you do is set some goals. Mm-hmm. And goals are really important. And making sure that those goals are attainable, that they're not too easy and they're also not too difficult so that you will attain them in the time frame that you set. And then, you know, recording that data to look back and say, hey, yeah, I did this. I achieved my goal. This is great. So what's next?
Yeah, and well, it does all the work for you. You know, right. All I have to do is push the little button that says start or whatever, and end at the end, but it's figured everything out, including the calories. Well, you know, there's already 4,000 calories or there, maybe a little more burned off in those exercises for me at least.
Right.
Well, let's not talk about me all the time, but maybe. You get on Google and there's dozens of different workout plans for people mm-hmm. with different goals and ages. And it's probably pretty important, or maybe not, to choose something that's appropriate for your age or your physical, right. Where you mm-hmm. are physically.
Yeah, you're right. There's so much out there. Whatever, you know, social media or YouTube or Google, whatever you look on, there's somebody who's got a new and the best workout plan that's out there. And it is hard to kind of sift through that and figure out what's right for me? And the first thing I would say is that you have to remember that everybody's different. And so that's why there are so many different plans out there, because something will work for one person. You know, it may work for my husband, but it may not necessarily work for me. Yeah. And so, you know, keeping in mind that, you know, everybody is different and everybody responds a little bit differently to different types of exercise. But, you know, I would go back to kind of my first suggestion is finding something that you enjoy. So if you enjoy following along to, you know, a video that's online and doing some strengthening exercises, then that's a great place for you to start. But if you don't want to exercise inside and you'd rather be outside, then, you know, finding a plan that helps you to set your goals, progress your goals, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve, that it would probably be better fit for somebody who has more interest in that. So yeah, there is a lot out there. you know, in general, you know, things that are absolutes that tell you that this is the only exercise that you need, or this is, you know, the only diet that you'll ever need, generally aren't 100%, you know, going to get you where you want to go. You have to be, I think, a little bit more flexible. There's not just one thing that's going to do it for you. You know, you can do multiple different things on different days. I think the best thing is to do something every day.
Yeah.
Move your body in some way every day.
I just saw, I got an email. I get tons of emails, mostly because of my position being on the air and so forth. So lots of people would like to be on the show. And I got one the other day that 3 minutes of exercise a day is enough.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of research that's really looked into high intensity, very short bouts of exercise and how that can then benefit people. And there is a lot of positive research to show that we see a lot of benefits to our heart health and to our metabolic health, and even to our muscular health from doing just 3 minutes. But that may not necessarily be for everybody, because it's a very vigorous type of activity that you have to do to receive those health benefits. And so if you haven't exercised before, you know, this may not be best place to start, because you want to develop, as you mentioned, you want to develop a habit that you're going to stick with, because the benefits from exercise come from doing it on a regular basis and accumulating. You don't want to just do it for January and then stop. You want to continue to do it throughout the whole year. And that's where you're going to really start to see the enormous benefits that exercise has for you.
Ann Swartz, our guest today, associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, talking with her about exercises and exercising. And I hope you'll join in. What experiences have you had? What have been the blocks for you, or what have been ways for you to keep up with your exercising? What works for you in the way of exercises? Love to hear from you. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller. Clara Neipert, our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at exercise on the show right now. A little later on, we'll be talking about respiratory health in your lungs and talk about breathing exercises. We'll get into some other, could even talk about lung cancer, the whole broad range, in other words. But right now, it's exercise. Ann Swartz, our guest, associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. Questions for her, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you go ahead and email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Andrew in Stevens Point, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I've got a question about how I can get a cardio workout without the use of my legs. I've had about 5 surgeries on one knee, 2 replacements, and I tend to manufacture scar tissue. So I've got about maybe 40 degrees of bend. So I can walk on a perfectly flat surface, but it's kind of scary. So I used to be a gym rat, and my body's telling me that I need to exercise. What can I do?
Great question, Andrew. I'm sorry, Larry, did I jump in on you?
No. Okay. I'm glad you jumped right in, because it is a great question from Andrew.
So, Andrew, there's a couple things that I would suggest. You know, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is swimming. But not everybody's a fan of water. How do you feel about water?
Well, I used to swim, but I'll be honest with you. I don't think that I could due diligence to it. I think it'd be too easy to sit up and say, oh, I can't. It's the middle of winter. I don't want to drive to the Y.
Right. I don't want to get wet, and I don't want to come back outside when I'm wet. I get that. So since you do like going to the gym, you know, there's a couple pieces of equipment at the gym that may be useful to you. One is a Schwinn Airdyne. It's a bike where you can use your arms and your legs. And you could use more of your upper body to propel the bike than using your lower body, or just have your, just not use your legs at all while you're doing that. But I would recommend continuing to do something with your legs, because you don't want the muscles around your knees to atrophy or to kind of decrease in size and strength. So you want to keep moving those legs, but as well as, you know, getting some sort of cardiovascular workout. So, you could check at the gym that you used to go to and see if there is something like a Schwinn Airdyne or an arm ergometer, sometimes they're called, which is basically a bicycle for your upper body. And those will get a really good cardiovascular workout as well as a great upper body workout. So those would be 2 things that I would recommend for you. I don't know if those sound of interest to you, because that's important.
What
that
do you
they're
think,
interested.
Andy? Yes.
Well, the problem is, I mean, I used to bike short. I'd go out and do 10 miles a day, but I don't have the range of motion to ride a bike anymore.
Right.
That's the frustration.
Right.
So
trying the Schwinn Airdyne without using your legs, or doing an arm ergometer without using your legs, you're going to find that that's a really challenging workout. At least it is for me.
So it would be difficult to be doing something from home, I suppose, too, for somebody that's sort of in Andrew's position, or Andrew himself.
Right. Well, you know, there, like you mentioned earlier, Larry, there's a lot that's online, whether it's on Google or YouTube's a great resource to find different exercises that you can do that's more of a balance between strength and cardio, particularly for your upper body, and then as well for your core, because you don't want to forget, you know, to exercise those muscles in your stomach and in your back to maintain those as well. So, you know, if staying in your home and exercising in your home is where you want to be, then taking a look at some of the resources that are out there for on YouTube or Google or, you know, the internet in large would be a good choice.
Jill Nadeau, one of our producers, says she uses an Airdyne, and it's a great workout for sure for her, and that she can do that at home.
Right. Yes.
Andrew, good luck, and thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call very much. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. I had a listener send an email that they've read that squats are good for the lower body, especially for seniors. Is that true? And how would you define a squat? For those who might not, well, I think everybody kind of has an idea of it, but if you're going to do them, how to do them properly.
Right. So, yeah, squats are great. You think about the motion of a squat, and it's very similar to what you do when you sit down in a chair or when you stand up from a chair. And so you think about how important that is for your daily life, how many times you sit down in a chair, how many times you get up from a chair, how many times you bend down. Those all involve those muscles, you know, in the front of your legs, your quadriceps, in the back of your legs, which are your hamstrings, and then in your tushy, which is your gluteal muscles. And so to be able to have strong muscles in your lower body is really important to be able to do all your activities that you want to do on a daily basis, you know, and that might be going to the grocery store, or it might be playing with your children or your grandchildren. And so those muscles become really important. So a great place to start with squats, if you haven't done squats before, is doing exactly what I just mentioned, which is sitting down into a chair and then standing up from the chair and doing that, you know, maybe 10 or 12 times in a row. And you can start by assisting with your arms and using your arms to help you, you know, sit down and stand up, but then progress to not using your arms and sitting down and standing up. And that's a good place to start when you're starting the squats. And then you want to progress to moving that chair away from you and doing what we call air squats. So it's kind of like you're pretending like you're sitting in a chair and then standing up from that chair. And so those are a great exercise to do, you know, starting out with a low number of repetitions. So, you know, maybe even, you know, starting out with 5. And if you feel like that's pretty easy, then you can increase that up, you know, to 10 or 12. And then, you know, you might want to do that a little bit in the morning, a little bit in midday, a little bit in the afternoon, kind of break up your sitting by doing those squats. And you'll notice pretty quickly that you're going to feel stronger and the activities that you do every day are going to feel easier.
M emailed us. They've been on Noom for 6 weeks. They're logging 1,200 to 1,300 calories and limiting my wine to 4 ounces a day. They've lost half a pound, I think. And wondering, why can't they lose weight? They have also tried Weight Watchers faithfully with no results.
Right. So I will preface any of my answers by saying I'm not a dietitian. I'm an exercise physiologist. So I focus a little bit more on exercise. I have heard a lot of really great things about Noom. There's a lot of people who really enjoy it. I personally have not had experience with it. But
what is,
you know,
what somebody might say, what the heck is Noom?
It's a weight loss program.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's similar to, it's not similar, but along the same lines of Weight Watchers.
Okay.
So one thing that I would recommend, you know, it sounds like they're monitoring, their caloric intake. And really that caloric intake is the key to weight loss. What exercise will help you do is it will help you to maintain your muscles, and muscles are what burn calories. And so the more muscles that you can have, the more calories that you're going to burn when you're sitting down or, you know, not really doing much. And so you want to make sure that you're engaging in some sort of exercise to help you on that process of losing weight. But again, the best way to lose weight is really to focus on that caloric restriction. Where exercise really starts to shine is after you've lost the weight. We know that exercise is one of the best ways to help individuals maintain that weight loss, which is also a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, just keeping up with the exercises for sure. And I'm looking at this email and thinking, well, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. A lot of times programs take a while to, I mean, you might go for 6 weeks and not gain a pound or not lose a pound, and then you might lose 3 pounds in week 9.
Right, right. It's hard to be patient with a lot of these lifestyle changes, but we really do need to be patient and, you know, develop these habits and stick with these habits. Because if you think about how long it took you to put on the weight, you know, to ask to take that weight off in, you know, 3 months or 5 months is really, that's, you know, a hard thing to do. So being patient and trying to develop good habits that will then help you over the long run to really achieve the goals that you want to achieve.
And just, and I know you're not a nutritionist, but just in general terms, you know, should you eat something before exercising, or how soon or late, you know, before exercising and then after as well?
Right. Yeah. So eating before you exercise, in general, if you're going to eat anything before you exercise, you want to eat at least an hour before you exercise. And generally, about 1 to 3 hours before you exercise, you can have a light snack. 3 to 4 hours before you exercise, that's when you can have a heavier meal. But you want to make sure that your body's able to process some of that food before you start exercising. If you eat too soon before you exercise, then what happens is you may not necessarily feel so great. That food might make you either, you know, feel like you have cramps or just not have as much energy to actually exercise. After you exercise, you should generally, if you are looking particularly to enhance your muscle mass, then you should consume some sort of protein and carbohydrate mix within 2 hours after you exercise. So, you know, maybe drinking some chocolate milk after you exercise, that's a great source of protein and a great source of carbohydrates. And, you know, you commonly see athletes consuming chocolate milk after they're done with their practice.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea for muscle building.
But at the same time, if I've, let's say I did exercises that burned 300 calories, and then I eat 800 calories of beer or whatever else it might be, whatever food it might be, I'm not gaining anything, am I?
Right. That's the challenge, that the thing that you have to kind of keep your eye on. In general, when we walk a mile, we burn about 100 calories. And so if we walk for 3 miles, we burn about 300 calories. Then if we go to the smoothie bar at the club that we belong to afterwards and we order a smoothie and it's 500 calories, and one of your goals happens to be weight loss, then you're going to actually be working against one of your goals. And so you want to make sure not to overconsume after you exercise, so that you don't derail any of your other goals.
Our guest today, Ann Swartz, associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. Questions for her, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. One of the approaches that seems very popular now is that high-intensity interval training.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe talk about that for a minute and give me your opinion of it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, high intensity interval training has actually been around for a long time. A lot of people who have run track or cross country or were swimmers, they probably did this in high school. It's just another form of interval training where you have a period of exercise that's a real high intensity, and then you have a period of exercise that is a much lower intensity. And so there's a lot of different forms of high intensity interval training. It can last from as short as, you know, a 3 second sprint to maybe doing a minute of exercise. And then the rest period between can vary from 10 seconds up to 5 minutes. And so we see a lot of different variations in high intensity interval training. It has become very popular recently because it's been promoted as a way to save time, to get sufficient exercise, sufficient stimulus, and not spend as much time. And so that's probably one of the reasons why we've seen it gain popularity, because it's an efficient use of our time in terms of doing our exercise and then being able to get on with our daily lives. There's been a lot of positive research that's shown that our muscles really respond very well to this. And within our muscles, we see some parts of our cells, our mitochondria, which are very important for our metabolic health. They respond very well to high intensity interval training. Our heart responds extraordinarily well to high intensity interval training. So if this is something that is of interest to you, maybe you don't have a lot of time, you're in pretty good shape right now and you want to try it out, then I would encourage you to try it out, because there is a lot of benefit to engaging in high intensity interval training.
I do a little of it just in my jog in the morning. I'll be slow, and then if the sidewalks aren't slippery, I'll do some jog or run really fast for usually not all that long, to be perfectly honest. It might be 15 seconds, and then just slow back down again.
And that's all you need. You know, just that 15-second little burst of higher intensity activity is really all that you need to gain the benefits from the higher intensity exercise.
I wanted to ask, too, and I don't know that I've asked you this before, because you're co-director of the Physical Activity and Health Research Lab at UW-Milwaukee. And what kinds of work do you do that? You know, what's the lab all about?
So what we primarily focus on, our work recently has really focused on looking at how much people sit, to be honest with you, and how that negatively impacts our health. And then using exercise to break up that sitting and how much benefit we can get from breaking up that sitting. In general, today adults spend 6 to 8 hours sitting during their waking hours. And that's quite a bit of time. And a lot of that is really prolonged sitting where we don't break it up. We don't get up and go to the bathroom or go to the bubbler and get a drink of water. And that's really shown to have a very negative impact on our heart health, our metabolic health. And so we've been really looking at ways that we can encourage people to move more and sit less.
Yeah, and here I'm thinking about my watch, my Apple Watch, which tells me if I'm sitting there watching the Packers lose to the Lions, it tells me that I need to stand up and move around, which is nice to have that reminder,
yes,
especially when
absolutely.
You're irritated at what the Packers are doing.
Well, that was a sad day, and we won't talk too much about that, but even the simple act of standing up can really promote quite a few health benefits for people who sit continuously throughout the day. If you think about what it takes to stand up, you're contracting quite a bit of very large muscles to stand up. It's that squat activity that we talked about before. And so just breaking up your sitting can really benefit your metabolic health.
Have you ever done any research on the activity of watching a football game or, when Marquette plays Wisconsin in basketball?
Right.
Something
the stress
like that.
Response.
you wonder if you do burn a little bit more calories, mm-hmm. sort of jumping up and down and shouting good things or bad things.
right. Yes. The activity level and even your heart rate.
Yes.
The amount of contractions that your heart performs is much, much higher than simply sitting and reading a book. Yes.
So one other thing, I have a couple of weights. They're light weights. They're like 5 pounds each. But they sit next to my chair where I watch TV, and I can pick those up and while I'm watching TV. And
I love that. I love that. That's a great idea. To break up your sitting and then also to help strengthen your arms. That's a fantastic idea.
Well, I do it, and I need to keep them out and front and center, or I forget. But if I've they're front and center, well, why not just grab them and do 20 or 30 or whatever, however many I feel like at the moment. And I wondered if it was worth it, to be honest.
Right. It doesn't need to be a lot. It just needs to be something to break up that sitting. And it, particularly if you can do it a couple times throughout the day, if you're sitting and watching a full Packer game, you've got a bit of time to do some muscular activity. So it's a great idea to do that and to break up that sedentary behavior.
And Jackie in Kenosha, actually she called, couldn't stay with us, but she says that reminds that when you exercise, the muscles continue to burn calories kind of throughout the days. And could you comment on the big exercise balls that they sell? Are they safe?
So first, the burning calories after you exercise. Unfortunately, it's not quite as much as we would like it to be. it's an extra, maybe 20 to 50 calories that we continue to burn a little bit after we get done exercising. But if you are able to build that skeletal muscle a little, then your metabolism throughout the day is slightly higher. So that's definitely a benefit. The exercise balls are great. There's stability balls that you can do different types of exercises, whether it's, upper body exercises. Most commonly people do core type exercises on it. Those are fantastic. And then there's a lot of other types of weighted balls that you can use for strengthening. They're much smaller than the stability balls, maybe the size of a volleyball. And they're weighted, and you can use those to help strengthen your muscles. So both of those are great tools to help you strengthen your muscles, which is really important, particularly as we hit our 40s and go beyond our 40s. We need to make sure that we're really strengthening our muscles to be able to continue to do the things that we love to do on a daily basis.
Like hit a golf ball a long way.
Like hit a golf ball a long way. It may not need to go straight, but it needs to go a long way.
And I'm a big proponent of walking when you play golf, too. A 18-hole course, it's a 6-mile walk.
Right. You do all that activity, and you don't even realize it because you're having so much fun.
And it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
It would be my pleasure. And thank you, Larry.
Ann Swartz, our guest today, professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee. And she co-directs the Physical Activity and Health Research Laboratory at UW-Milwaukee as well. Great to have her with us. She's always a lot of fun to talk with. And we're going to turn our attention to your lungs and your respiratory health next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.